Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, in the first half, we do trending topics, and Philip Stutz joins us to tell us all about, business and elections and how things are won and lost. Very interesting conversation. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, right? And then there's your automotive policy. You want to put them together? Want to get your bundle going? Geico makes it easy to take your homeowners or your renter's insurance and bundle it along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save when you bundle at geico.com.
Hi, I'm Jingle Jared. I'm the number one jingle writer of all time. No big deal. Anyways, I sold my business, and now I'm looking for a new job. In my podcast, called Occupational Therapy, Conversations from the Audio Chateau, I sit down with experts across every imaginable field of work. I know a lot of exceptionally talented folks, including comedians, head of multinational companies, pro athletes, pro gamers, celebrity chefs, and even some of the top TV show creators of all time. With the help of my co-host, Zach Selwyn, I'm going to talk to as many of those people as I possibly can to look for my next occupation. This is an opportunity for me to learn something new and show the world that it takes a lot of education, dedication, and perspiration to achieve at a high level across any field. Join me every Wednesday on Occupational Therapy, Conversations from the Audio Chateau, an audio up podcast.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dan and Lindsay Cummins, and author Philip Stutz. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, and now, celebrating Earth Day by asking Garagus if he can use his private jet. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
You're so funny.
We have Max Pat in studio. We're going to do some trending topics in a second. This is stuff that's trending in the news. We're going to get our takes on it.
Here we go.
First, somebody tweeted me this morning, and they said, how do you tell the difference between soup and stew?
All right.
And I thought, yeah.
How does one?
Because we're blurring the lines now. There used to be a clearer definition between soup and stew, but there's been too many soups offered and stews offered. And I thought,
there's meat involved, like meat and veggies, especially like chopped up potatoes.
I have thoughts about this.
But there's certainly soup that has a lot of meat in it as well.
I mean beef. Sorry,
There's like beef barley soup.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't think we can do it with ingredients.
I personally don't think it's about what's in it. I think it's about the size it's cut into. So if you have if it's thinly sliced, it's a soup. If it's a big like chunk size, you're making a stew.
Okay.
It's a good take.
Thank you.
Came up with something a little more scientific.
Okay.
And I'm going to put the whole chowder debate aside for now.
We should, just for today.
It's its own thing.
It's its own thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say about chowder. I said, if you can take a straw and stand it up in it, it's stew. And if the straw just falls over, it's soup.
Question, do you call it lentil stew?
Because
I like a porridgey lentil.
I don't know. I think lentil soup is like when we call tomato a vegetable, but it's a fruit.
Okay.
I think it's technically a stew.
We've just dubbed it
lentil soup, but it's really more viscous.
So your theory stands.
So and so is the straw.
Right.
So my feeling is the straw's not going to stay there forever. Also, you couldn't really drink the stew out of the straw, whereas you could drain a little of the broth with the soup through the straw.
It's been a while since I've had a number of stews. Is there a stew that does not involve big chunky ingredients?
Someone will tell us, but I agree with Gina. I think it's the size, not so much the carrots. Carrots seem to come in the same size,
yeah.
But it's the potato and the beef. Yeah. It's the cubes of
it's
beef.
It's the size.
But I still think of the viscosity of the stew more than I think. I think of the broth.
No, you're
I think
right.
there's a clarity yeah. to it.
This is very Seinfeld. Hmm. Was it a consomme? So I think that you guys might enjoy. We should
Ooh,
do a.
I have
yes.
another, another one.
Okay.
If you can put a credit card a quarter inch beneath the surface of it and still read the numbers.
You now mean it's gonna opacity.
Yeah, it's that is now in the soup department versus stew. You wouldn't be able to do that.
Right,
it's probably
right.
going to screw with the magnetic strip, but I think we all should do it anyway.
Yeah, and there's nothing more delicious than a dirty credit card being stirred around in your soup. Yeah.
Just to tell if it's sewer soup.
We might yeah. have to do an Eat Your Feelings soon, because guess what I invented last night? At least I think I invented it. Chicken cheesesteak soup. Mm. Almost like a French onion, and it was delicious.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or stew. Who's to say?
Okay, yeah. I'll bring over my straw.
That sounds good.
I shouldn't be.
I just had an issue at the other shop because the guys in the back ordered Subway.
Veggie.
And Jose ordered the steak, basically the Philly cheesesteak. Mm-hmm. Of course, I need to know what kind of cheese he went with on that.
Oh, no.
Praying for provolone.
Of course. That's
going to be the name of my next podcast. Yeah.
Cheese would be acceptable.
He went with pepper jack.
Oh, that's not a cheese steak.
That's a mistake.
That's odd.
Oh,
well,
I fucking tore into him. Big time. Pepper jack on a Philly cheese.
You could have given me 10 guesses and I wouldn't have gotten to pepper jack.
Same.
No, not good. And as I said, with pepper jack, you always run the risk of the fake cheese. Where it's unclear mm-hmm. whether that's actual cheese or cheese product.
Are so, you okay with the cheese whiz in it?
Well, that's supposed to be the way
I have grandfathered it in. Yeah. I don't like cheese whiz. I would go with the provolone every single time.
But in as much as it's a local custom.
A regional whatever, yes. yeah. fine. You're grandfathered in, but no, not a fan of the cheese whiz. As a matter of fact, I would probably go with the pepper jack over the cheese whiz. Yeah, so maybe I owe Jose an apology. But
those are the only two choices.
Still should have gone with the provolone. That's what I'm saying.
Standard.
All right, I'm hungry. Let's wrap this up. All right, we have Max Pata's intro.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your producing skills are lame. Make fun of how your show's. Okay. You seem to only make things worse when you explain to him how Twitter works. No one would watch your job.
All right. So I searched far and wide for the mm-hmm. trending topics.
You shouldn't have to search far or wide.
I really did.
If they're trending.
Yeah. They're trending. Right there.
I searched far and wide on the trending page of Twitter. And so let's start off with the Oakland Raiders. Mm. Your Oakland Raiders. Boy. Not really yours.
The
but
who?
They,
Las Vegas Raiders.
That's right.
Like, excuse me. Yeah, the Las Vegas
that's
Raiders.
That's two cities ago.
I know. My brain's all over the place. So anyway, they tweeted out after the Derek Chauvin verdict a very controversial tweet that they pinned. So when you pin a tweet at him, you're basically highlighting this tweet. So they're
putting it at the top of your profile
right.
for all to see.
And they pinned this tweet. Kim will put it up. It's just
oh wow,
a black screen with the words in white, "I can breathe." For 2021, obviously talking about the verdict, I can breathe. So a lot of people were
poorly
very,
conceived.
Very upset. Yeah, very. It's a lot of like the read the room kind of thing. So obviously their
or
intentions
just
were
don't weigh in or just sit this
or,
one out
or play right. football
or play football. Yeah. So obviously we know what their intentions were. It just didn't really come off the way that they wanted it to.
Basically, also with the Oakland Raiders, like if you just went over the roster over the last 50 years and said the team that leads the league in accused rapists and wife beatings, Oakland would be a perennial. They'd be up there. Or I should say Vegas would be up there.
Yeah.
Don't everyone, oh, big corporations, sports and stuff. And we stopped. So the thing about I think we all agree, like, well, you want to talk about politics maybe around the dinner table, and then you want to escape to sports. The sports was always a sort of an escape,
yeah.
And now we can't escape anything. But also, it smacks of what it is, which is, you know, I have this tragic situation, somebody's dead, and somehow you got to get a couple of attaboys piggybacked on it.
It's ham-fisted.
You know what else doesn't make sense? Like, unless you have a real hot take that nobody else has heard, we'll just go ahead and assume that you're down.
Yeah,
we'll assume that you're down, and it's still not as bad as Nancy Pelosi, who did the thank you, George Floyd.
Thank you.
For what? I mean, Jesus Christ. And also, you just have to kind of think about what these things are going to sound like
this was for sure approved.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... But all see, my feeling is sort of in the New World Order of Chris Harrison or whomever, I don't know, we don't have to weigh in on everything.
Yeah.
So... Half the country may go, oh, that's awesome, but neither here nor there. And then the other half is going to be agitated.
Right. And I hate the NFL now.
And why even bother? Because there's little upside with potentially a lot of downside.
Right.
That's I guess, what I'm
saying. We can ask our first guest about this because he's in marketing and he works with a lot of corporations and stuff. But, like, my guess is he will say something like, when it makes sense. Like, if you're Patagonia. They're obviously very, you know, far out there. They're progressive. They have stances. Go ahead. That's what you're known for. You know what I mean? But if you're the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders, maybe, you know, take a knee.
But also, no weighing in to me just means nothing. I don't go, how come I haven't heard from Patagonia?
Right.
Or how come I haven't heard from this company that makes thermoses?
Oh,
or
their
something?
Silence speaks volumes.
Yeah, it's not like that. I don't think about that.
Well,
I just think they do something and they're doing it now.
Well, remember last year, right after the George Floyd killing, that everybody for Black Lives Matter, they would post a completely black screen on their Instagram. Mm-hmm. And there was even like things where if you didn't post it, you were getting called out.
That is true,
that
because I woke up that morning. I remember, I'm so glad you said that. Somebody said something, you know, like I was, you know, kind of look at Twitter. I'm kind of waking up and somebody always says something. Can I say something, you know, funny back or acknowledge them? And someone said something about the show and I did what I usually do is like a little laughy face and a, hey, thanks, man. And I got the angriest reply, like, read the room. This is not the day for you to tweet. And
tweet emojis?
Well, Chris asked me, and I was like, no fucking way. I'm not down with Black Lives Matter.
You did?
Oh, maybe I did. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not. First off, the history will show that Black Lives Matter is not a great organization. Now, and this is the real problem, this thing of it's diabolical. You start this organization, and then if you find any fault in the organization, it's now because you don't care about black people, which is diabolical. I've not signed off on that premise. I think you can care about black people and not be down with Black Lives Matter. And I don't know. We'll crunch the numbers and look at the data and see what Black Lives Matter has done for black people. So far, not a fuck of a lot, as far as I can tell.
Right.
All right. They made $90 million. They don't really say where the money goes, and then they got the chick who bought four houses. That's as much as I know thus far.
Same.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so this particular tweet, everybody's saying like, look, this went through a writer, then a marketing team, then a social media team, and it got approved. Also, but you're gonna like this, Adam. So the owner, Mark Davis, he said the tweet was his idea.
And, I don't doubt that.
And he says, I don't plan on deleting it. So there you go. He's not apologizing. He said, like, look, we meant no disrespect. We took the lead from George Floyd's brother, who said after the verdict, today we are able to breathe again. And George Floyd's brother even sends his deepest gratitude to the Raiders, saying, look, it's all good. So they still have this up. I was clicking refresh all day. Like, when are they deleting this? Everyone's like, dude, the social media person, go home? I mean, it's 5:30. Like, and this thing's still up.
Wow.
But you know what? I respect
that. I do, too. My whole thing is at least just stand by it.
Yeah.
If you put it up, leave it up. That's fine. And besides, he has... Al Davis Jr. What's his name?
Mark Davis. Put up a picture, Caleb, of Mark Davis. Gina, you got to see this guy.
All right.
He's the whitest man on the planet, and
he looks like a doofus. Like he looks like the doo 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 doo.
He looks
Baby Louie, Huey.
He has a look like the guy from Idiocracy,
yes,
who's in the boardroom. This looks like staring at a Rubik's Cube with his eyes kind of crossed. Like, yes, he does.
That's a billionaire, Gina.
That's not his hair. That's mean. Who
yes,
did that? Who
that
photoshopped
he
that?
He is, you know, we talk about the mullet all the time, but we forget about the bowl cut.
Yeah.
The
this
bowl cut is literally bowl. When they put a bowl on your head and just cut around the circumference of the bowl. That's what he has.
Hey, but with the red hair, he has to know, like, this is howdy doody.
He probably tore this page from his dad's kind of P.T. Barnum playbook. And also, he has F me money.
I like
that's,
that.
Yeah. That's what he
jokes
has.
Jokes on all of us,
that's
Gina.
Right.
The Raiders have been dominating the NFL for the last 10 years. Oh, wait.
All right.
No, they're terrible.
All right.
Well, anyway, LeBron James was really upset with that tweet.
Right.
He wrote, "This is real? Nah, man, this ain't it at all. The fuck?" And then he has the guy with his hand over his face emoji. So
because LeBron's not down with it.
He's not down with that. He wasn't down with that, and that tweet's still up. But he did delete a recent tweet. So he posted and later deleted a tweet on Wednesday about the fatal police shooting of Makia Bryant, the 16-year-old black girl in Columbus, Ohio. She was killed Tuesday, about 30 minutes before the verdict was delivered in the killing of George Floyd. And body camera footage released after the shooting showed Bryant charging another teen with a knife as she was shot.
Right.
So James tweeted a photo of the officer involved in the shooting with a caption reading, in all caps, "You're next, hashtag accountability," and he has the hourglass emoji on there.
And it seems a little aggressive.
Yeah.
Also, wildly misplaced. I've seen the footage and the breakdown of the footage. The guy pulled up. As he pulled up, first things first, as far as cops go, they don't just patrol around looking for black teens to shoot. They get a phone call, and then they show up, and they don't show up at the beginning of the situation. They show up in the middle,
right, when
or
a knife
near,
has been brandished.
Near the end.
Yeah.
So now you walk into a situation, and there's a chick who's got a knife who's attacking another chick. She pummels her, knocks her down, even kind of looks like she tries to stab her. It's kind of hard. There was actually video that is not the cop chest cam video, but the neighbor has video. And the neighbor's video.
Jeez, are there multiple angles now?
Yeah, the neighbor's video is from his garage, and you can kind of see the whole thing, not just from the cop's perspective. But anyway, she comes running out. She knocks over one chick. I don't know if she tries to stab her. It looks like it from the neighbor video, though it's all fast and kind of hard to tell.
Right.
Then she turns on the other chick. The other chick goes up against a car fender, and the chick who got shot pulls her hand out, and I don't know how else you can describe it other than looks like she is not seconds away, but milliseconds away from plunging it into this person. And the cop who rolled up 22 seconds earlier has a choice at this point. He's got the gun out. He's yelling down or stop or halt or whatever. And now she pulls her arm back, and he shoots her. If he doesn't shoot her, then she's going to plunge a knife into the person. And she doesn't look like she's aiming for the meaty part of the thigh.
Right.
She's going up top with that knife. And I don't know. Then all the tweets come out. It's like another black teen shot.
Yeah.
Valerie Jarrett, I think, for the Roseanne one. By the way, I stand by the when Roseanne said, "I didn't know the bitch was black." You see a picture of her just from her tweet. I have no idea what she is. But anyway, she was like, she sent out a tweet that said, "A cop broke up a knife fight by shooting, you know, a teenage girl." It's like,
that's one way to put it.
I'll read it to you.
It wasn't really a knife fight. It was only one person with a knife.
Yeah, so a black teenage girl named Makia Bryant was killed because a police officer immediately decided to shoot her multiple times in order to break up a knife fight. Demand accountability, fight for justice, hashtag Black Lives Matter.
So she would call that a knife fight?
I guess.
Question. And
it was a fight with a knife.
But knife fight implies both people have a knife.
I'm not being totally rhetorical here. Would this story have made the news if one teenager bludgeoned another teenager to death, stabbed him to death with a knife? Because the cop watched and he didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, there was a story in the same state of a 13-year-old being stabbed to death, black girl, at school, but that's not really news because it's probably stabbed by another black girl and there's no white cop involved. All I'm saying is pundits and Valerie and Black Lives Matter, sometimes you have to keep walking. You can't turn everything. By the way,
this nail on the hammer situation.
This guy saved the life of a black teenager by shooting another black teenager.
Oh, was that not the headline?
It's all just
zero cops.
Cop just shoots another black teen, you know, or kid or something like that. The other thing, too, is from what I could tell from this tape, the chick wielding the knife looked stout. She looked like she could have been 5'10" and a couple bills. Like,
yeah, she was willowy.
He's not checking ID.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know that the age. Oh, first things first. What's the difference between a 19-year-old about to plunge a knife into somebody or a 16-year-old about to plunge a knife into somebody? How's he supposed to figure out how old she is? And then what fucking difference would it make if she reels back and is about to plunge the knife into somebody? So this would be an opportunity for the folks that find this sort of thing everywhere to either move on or stop and possibly praise or talk about what a difficult job. And then they start getting in. There's got to be a better way to handle this.
All ears.
All right. You get the counselors and they can come in with their clipboards. And then what? Or these cops shouldn't have guns. OK, then what? Let's just say he showed up with a counselor and no gun.
Right.
Ugh. Jesus Christ. Look. Find it where it exists and report on it. You're not allowed to synthesize it. You're not allowed to sort of craft it in the lab and just make it into this. But sorry, Max Pat.
Well, anyway, LeBron James did not take a play out of Mark Davis's playbook. He deleted that tweet, but he responded to the deletion with this. Anger does any of us.
By the way, it's a good way to get this cop killed. We have a rich history of people showing up at people's houses now and doing shit right these days. LeBron, you're putting the guy's fucking picture out there with no. Yeah. Okay. Now he'll have a target.
Actually, can go to the next tweet.
Awesome.
So, yeah, he responds, I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I'm so desperate for more, all caps, accountability.
All right, well, then don't show the fucking picture of the one officer and then say you're next.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, LeBron. Yeah. He's a fucking idiot.
He has 49.6 million followers on Twitter. He is number 26 of all Twitter
accounts. All right, well, if
there's
one of them.
25 people with more followers?
There's going to be a lawsuit if someone goes after that cop. And he put his picture out there and said, you're next.
Yeah.
The fucking pompous ass. We're such idiots in our society. The guy's great at one thing, and thus we think he's a genius. He's a fucking idiot. All right. Do we have
Jen?
I want to hear Jen Psaki's take on this whole fucking thing, because I'm so tired of the perpetuation of this. You can just. This doesn't. First off, not everything needs to be addressed. Just shit happens. It happens all day, every day. That's unfortunately the society we're living in. Let's hear what she has, her take on it.
Has the president been briefed on 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant being shot and killed by police in Columbus, Ohio yesterday? It happened moments before the Chauvin verdict came out.
Yes. I said to you yes, and let me just say, since you gave me the opportunity.
Let me find my talking points.
The killing of 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. Yeah. She was a child.
Hold on.
Of her friends and family.
She
and
was a child.
That wasn't her name.
Well, then if a three-year-old can wield a knife and shove it into someone's rib cage, then that's where we're at. All right, but she was a child. All right.
It's tragic. She was a child. We're thinking of her friends and family and the communities that are hurting and grieving her loss. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts black and Latino people and communities, and that black women and girls, like black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. We also know that there are particular vulnerabilities that children in foster care like Micaiah face. And her death came, as you noted, just as America was hopeful of a step forward after the traumatic and exhausting trial of Derek Chauvin and the verdict that was reached. So our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much needed reforms into place at police departments around the country.
All right. President. Not sure if this is a shining example of systemic racism, and then I'm also wondering what policies they can put in place when the cops cop gets the call that someone's got a knife and they're stabbing a teenager on the lawn.
Right.
But okay, Jen, you could just say, you know, we want to look at the rest of the case. Yeah. This isn't, we're going to keep walking here. You have to fucking fan the flames even more. But more systemic racism.
I don't know, Adam, if this has been on your radar. Chris, I know you're on Twitter a lot. Brian, I know you are. There's like a meme or like a challenge going around where you put a bunch of red plastic cups around and see if your cat can walk through them sort of gingerly. Yeah. Like, and it's, you know, it's really like mazy and complicated. That is Jen Psaki. I don't know what she just said or what she was talking about, but she maneuvered those plastic cups like a champ. Like, that wasn't even the question.
She went full candidate or spokesperson platitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, I got to say some stuff, but I can't really address this head on.
But my argument is you're convincing the American population, or at least attempting to convince them that there's more of this than there is, which would, of course, make for a very unhappy populace, a very agitated populace. Anyway, it'd be nice. My thing is, she could go another direction. She could go, there is systemic racism. Mm-hmm. This is not a great example of this. As a matter of fact, maybe this officer should have our gratitude. He possibly saved a life.
Yeah, I would love, is that young girl speaking out at all? The one who lived?
Well, she was just like, I was about to be stabbed, and then the guy shot the person who was about to stab me.
I'm sure she's grateful.
Yeah.
She personally was happy
I just think it's in terms of headlines and media, you'd think that story would be out too.
You could spin that like, oh, a life was saved.
Right.
But, but they're not. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get that.
No.
Spin it the other direction. Thanks, Jen.
Well,
all right.
Well, let's spin in a different direction here with your pal Ben Shapiro.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite.
He is trending right now, along with Home Depot. So, I love Home Depot. Last like 8 months, all of my gifts have been Home Depot gift cards.
I love Home Depot,
too. It's the greatest gift in the world. But so what's going on with Home Depot now is a major coalition of black faith leaders in Georgia representing over 1,000 churches in the state called on Tuesday for a boycott of Home Depot, arguing that the company has abdicated its responsibility as a good corporate citizen by not pushing back on the state's new voting laws.
Or they could just sell plywood.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how politically active every company needs to be, but okay.
Well, they're in Georgia. Their headquarters is in Georgia, along with like Coca-Cola and Delta. Coke and Delta both have spoken out against the state's new voting law, but Home Depot said, quote, "The most appropriate approach for us to take is to continue to underscore our belief that all elections should be accessible, fair, and secure."
Well, here's what I want to say about Home Depot. I feel the same argument about Chick-fil-A. Go ahead, do the boycott, bitch. I bet you can't. You can't. You fucking love Chick-fil-A too much. You need Chick-fil-A. Everyone wants to fucking boycott the airline until they go on Travelocity and realize it's $30 cheaper to get to Phoenix, and they go, fuck it. All of your boycott ability just goes sailing out the window. So you can go to Anawalt Lumber, or Terry Lumber, McConkey Lumber, and you can go down the street and buy your shit over there. You're going to pay $249 for the cordless drill combination, or you can go to Home Depot and get it for $179. So boycott all the fuck you want. It won't work. Plywood is 30% cheaper than it is at the corner hardwood supply place. So it's not going to work. Right. It doesn't work for shit we want. It never worked for Chick-fil-A. It backfired because everyone's like, fuck, now I'm craving Chick-fil-A.
What's this Chick-fil-A I keep hearing about?
Yeah.
So Ben Shapiro, he's tweeted, I'm shopping at Home Depot then. Screw this. And then he goes to Home Depot and he does an Instagram live, and we'll watch it right now. Here's him encouraging everybody to go to Home Depot.
You should be buying from companies that are not falling to the woke left. Home Depot, so far, is one of those companies. So, here's what we're doing. I encourage you to do the same. I'm going to go in there, I'm going to buy some stuff, and then I'm going to leave.
So he's going in
to buy some stuff.
All right, as you can see, I just went shopping at Home Depot.
All right, pause it right there.
He has a bag.
Did it need a bag?
He has a bag.
Yeah, explain what we're seeing, Gita.
I mean, it's a how big is that plywood, Adam? It's not plywood.
It's dimensional lumber.
Okay.
Jesus fucking Christ. How long have you been here?
It's a big ass piece of wood in a teeny tiny little bag.
It's eight inches wide and it's 3 foot long.
It's three plastic bags tall.
Makes Ben look huge, like 5 foot one.
It's a single piece of wood.
It's a single piece of wood, and it's 8 inches because it's bigger than 6 inches, and it's 3 foot because it's longer than 2 foot. And things kind of come in sizes, you know what I mean? So, Max Pata, let's relive, before we play the rest of this, let's relive our conversation we had when I was driving in here today.
Sure, okay. Adam, do you see Ben Shapiro's trending right now?
Why? What'd he do?
Well, because of Home Depot and the voting laws, there's a big boycott against him. So Ben decided to go into Home Depot, and there's a video of him buying a piece of wood, and everyone's just making fun of him because he's holding a piece of wood in a plastic bag.
Oh, I haven't seen the video. I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Just a piece of wood?
Yeah.
Huh. He just bought one piece of wood?
Yeah, and everyone's just making fun of him.
Huh. Hmm. Is it poplar?
Yes.
All right, play the rest of the video.
What?
Play the rest of the video.
I just went shopping at Home Depot. You should do the same. This wood, this board, this magnificent piece of poplar is now mine.
This blew my mind because of all the questions Adam could have asked. Him naming the type of wood that Ben was holding based off of my description of it's a piece of wood in a plastic bag. Blew my mind.
How did you get there, Adam?
It's the best day of Sonny's life.
All right. I went through my, I did it my sort of Peyton Manning check down at the line, you know? Omaha.
Sure.
Omaha. I was seeing if they had the nickel package in.
Yeah.
I saw that. So my brain was working like a computer. So I'm like, he bought a piece of wood? Yes. He bought a piece of wood and he's holding it up. Now, he didn't say what size it was. He just bought a piece of wood.
So, cover one, the safety was deep.
Yeah, so my brain's moving. And I'm like, well, it's not a 2x4. He wouldn't have bought a single 2x4. That would have looked weird. And obviously the bag at the end of the 2x4 would be like a thimble on Shaq's cock, you know. He wouldn't have had a lot of coverage there,
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I ruled out Douglas fir.
Yay.
With the 2x4s.
Yeah.
Then my next move was thinking some kind of plywood, but you can't hold up a 4x8 sheet of plywood. So now I'm into he's holding up a piece of wood.
Okay.
And also I'm toggling in between Max Zapata's laymanship, if that's a word, not being a master.
Sure.
I'm not dealing with
Carpenter,
Bob Vila
right.
here. I'm trying to figure
out.
I don't like how it starts with lame.
Well, I'm also thinking, it's lame and weird to go in and go, I bought a piece of wood, especially Ben Shapiro has no woodworking skills. What's he's going to make a fucking spice rack with that thing? I mean, he's not going to get his contractor saw and start ripping it off and putting it through the drum sander. It's just, it's random. It defeats your purpose a little because it says this is all for show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy. You can go there and buy
a box of screws.
Buy rat
eventually.
Poison or fertilizer or trowel or
something.
With the piece of wood that you're just going to throw in the back of your car and have your assistant remove, you know, in 2 weeks. Like, that is not you needing.
Right.
You don't need to go. He doesn't need.
No.
I could have pulled that off. He couldn't. But anyway, so my brain, he's describing this to me while I'm driving. I've not seen it. I've not even heard about it. So I'm like, piece of wood in a bag? Piece of wood in a bag. So now my brain starts going to wonder if he bought a 2 foot wooden level. And it's in a bag, which looks like you bought a piece of wood. Now, I'm seeing it. All I'm hearing is what Chris is telling me. So maybe Chris is interpreting this piece of wood. I don't know he said piece of wood. I'm thinking Chris sees a wood level hanging out of a bag, and it looks like you bought.
Right.
Wood levels look like you bought a piece of wood. They're just wood levels. I'm like, he said piece of wood. And then I started thinking about it, and I thought, there's really only two species of wood. Well, there's three. There's poplar, there's oak, maybe alder. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'm in a good mood. Maybe there's alder. But I've narrowed it down to poplar and oak pretty much at this point. And if it's a piece of wood and he's holding it up in his hand, it's got to be poplar.
Wow.
And so I just shouted out poplar. And
you did all this in 7 seconds.
Yeah, maybe less. And then Max Zapata went, you're right, which made me confused again, because why does Max Zapata, no, he doesn't recognize Poplar.
Right. No way.
Shocked to hear Ben say it when I got here in the video. But I have told people all the time, you can know more than someone with a computer if you have the experience in your sure. head, and you can do the kind of deductive check down reasoning. I went through all the different sizes of wood and all the different species of wood, and I ended up with poplar. Now, it could have been oak, so we got a little lucky there.
Yeah, a little lucky.
But I knew it was poplar.
Blew my mind.
I used to work with poplar. It's kind of the poor man's alder.
Okay.
You know that. You've seen my license plate, friend.
PRMN.
Hey, you park behind
L-D-R,
me.
PR,
people
yeah.
know it. I get a lot right. of knowing nods yeah. on the 405.
Right. Yeah. A lot of friends. A
lot of Karens give me that a boy.
Instead of Mr. Popular, it just says Mr. Poplar.
Yeah. Poplar's more of a paint grade than it would be a stain grade.
Sure.
Because it's kind of green and white. It doesn't really look that good. And it's like a softish hardwood. It's not nearly as hard as oak. Mm-hmm. Oak is real hardwood.
This is amazing.
And that's why there's no poplar cutting boards or things or baseball bats.
There's some give.
There's no, they don't really do thresholds. I remember the threshold I built here, I may have made out of poplar, but
we're having a ball out here.
But it's paint grade.
Got it.
You know, so I rolled the dice. I went with poplar, and then Max was like, oh my God. I was on the phone with him.
Now I'm really getting interested.
Yeah.
It all just fell perfectly into place.
Other than that, we really don't care what he's doing.
But let's not.
Right.
I'm curious why Ben went with literally a piece of wood that he has no ability to work with and that would serve no function.
Isn't that kind of the joke? Like, look, it's a piece of wood. I don't have any business.
He's not a dumb guy.
Here.
Yeah. So maybe he went, I'm going to go. I'm getting something I don't need.
Right. This is what I look like at Home Depot.
Yeah. Do we think he actually went and purchased that piece of wood then and there? Because as the video starts, he's in the parking lot. We cut to stock footage of, you know, people shopping. Then we finish with him in the parking lot, now magically holding a piece
of wood. I'm with Brian. He probably told a PA, I need poplar. I need 8x3. Good one side, 4/4. And he just dispatched him to go find the poplar.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe never bought it. It's still a weird. Well, it's more effective in one argument and less effective in a more pragmatic. I had to go to Home Depot to pick up some fertilizer.
Well, but I think that's what he's saying. He has no business there, and he will now make it a point to go get something to support them.
Well, that's neither here nor there. It's that I called out the species of the wood while I was on the 101 freeway with Max Zapata.
Oh, boy.
Super impressive. Now I'm thinking if you're...
Super impressive.
Oh, Brian, if you'd done that, you'd fucking have a shrine made of popular. No. Poplar built to yourself.
I changed this show's name to Poplar Opinion. No, it was Chris's transition that was great. That's great.
Thank you. Anyway, so I'm thinking, what does Ben do now? I would frame that piece of poplar. That thing is probably worth a lot more money now just because it's been viewed millions of times.
All right, let's bring it home, Max Pat. We got our guest in the waiting room.
Why don't you hit a spot and I'll get out of here.
All right. Oh, do we have an outro for you?
Just a song.
Oh. Do we do it? Dawson's
do
eating,
it and then
but
fade
Dawson's.
Down.
That was
Dawson
trending topics.
Dawson says no. All right. Let me hit Meguiar's. Over the last few years, Meguiar's launched their next generation of protective products, specially geared toward DIYers. You hearing me, Shapiro?
Shapiro, that's right.
Hybrid ceramic spray wax. Bright blue bottle, advanced SiO2 hybrid technology delivers ceramic wax protection and durability beyond traditional wax. Meguiar's hybrid ceramic liquid wax. Long-lasting ceramic protection and an easy-to-use wax. Hybrid ceramic spray detailer for the in-between that boosts the maintenance. You know, you don't go to the car wash. Just clean it up when it's not too bad. Removes dust, fingerprints, bird droppings, and let's not forget about weird insect droppings, which bother me the most on cars. And this year, they've expanded to include a new hybrid ceramic wash and wax. Bright orange bottle. Unique. Two liquid system together in one bucket. Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. Ceramic made easy. That is Meguiar's. All right. We're going to welcome back our friend Philip Stutz. We'll get into all of the official particulars with Philip. We'll do that right after this.
You will get Ace Man's favorite. You will get awesome. $25 shipped to you. You better believe it. You can get Adam's monthly nut. You should get Adam's monthly nut. You should get Adam's monthly nut. There's some real cool crap. You know that you want that.
You heard Dick. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. April will feature Righteous Felon Beef Jerky with flavors like Chipotle Guevara and Habanero Escobar. Expand laces, because who doesn't want to turn every shoe into a slip-on? At least sometimes. You'll also get a copy of Daddy Stop Talking and a bottle of your choice. Prep your mail's box, because Adam's Monthly Nut is on its way. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, driving the highways and byways. Look out my window, see a homeless guy with a fold-out solar panel charging his phone and all his devices, making themselves comfortable out here. Love your work. Later.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Philip Stutz is joining us, Win Big Media founder and CEO and author as well. He's got a book out called The Undefeated Marketing System, How to Grow Your Business and Build Your Audience Using the Secret Formula that elects presidents, and he's worked on many different campaigns, over 1,200 election victories, House, Senate, presidential campaigns as well. Good to see you again, Philip.
Yeah, good to see you, Adam.
Well, let's talk. And also, we have an expert on school reform and school choice and all that, which is something I'm passionate about, ironically, because I don't really care about my own kids' education. But I do love the brown and black babies, so I'm here to help. So let's talk about what maybe the politicians know that we don't know as far as campaigns go.
Yeah, you know, and what I put in the book was more of a historical view of how political campaigns have been run since 2000 and how sort of the innovation that has come out of there, because we have elections every 2 years and we either win or we're gone, has really transformed the business world. And so this is sort of a historical look at how political campaigns are run, how George W. Bush won, Obama won, Trump won, and then Biden won. And the formula that they use to win, and then how billion-dollar companies are now utilizing this formula to grow their businesses. And really, the whole point of why I tried to write it was that most businesses don't understand how complicated marketing is today in their business. And the game is just totally rigged against them. It's like Facebook and Google and Coke and all these companies. They're actually just big data companies now. And so the whole key to the whole thing is how political campaigns are using data to, persuade voters, and how companies should be doing that to persuade customers or clients.
Well, I guess what's the difference between a vote and a taco? You know, either way, you're just kind of
vote with your wallet
selling. You're just selling
a
unit.
It's probably infinitely harder to get somebody to vote for an unknown or unsavory candidate than it is to buy a taco. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think that the way that we're utilizing sort of political marketing strategies in businesses has an advantage for those companies. And I wanted to tell that story, and I laid it all out in the book.
Well, that's funny, Philip. I was thinking about your book, and I was thinking about the recent, it's funny you mentioned since 2000, because each of those candidates you mentioned, maybe to a lesser extent Biden, but like Bush, Obama, and Trump had like major hurdles to overcome in terms of marketing. Like, you had to market them in a specific way, because people forget Bush was looked at the time as like a buffoon, right? He was like the not quite Jeb. And then Barack Hussein Obama, no one knew who he was. His middle name was Hussein. And then Trump, you know, had a bunch of baggage too. And it's like all those guys had to be marketed in a specific way. Was there some common thread of how that could put them over the top?
Yeah, the it started really out of the 2000 campaign. So I was on the Florida recount team, and it was a brutal experience. I think Bush won by 537 votes out of almost 6 million cast in the state of Florida in 2000. Everybody thinks like the last two elections were close. Well, that was decided by 537 votes, the presidency. And so after that, Bush's team got around and said, we got to change everything. And what they ended up doing was bringing consumer data into the whole targeting process of the way they targeted voters. This is a little inside baseball, but it's kind of fascinating. And so for the first time ever, we utilized an extensive amount of data in the 2004 reelection campaign. It had never been done on any political campaign in the history of American politics. And they utilized it to persuade voters on what they cared about the most. We found out through that data what the voters cared about, Brian. Mm-hmm. And in a way, we were able to deliver messages only to those voters and only to those issues. And then in 2008, Obama took that model. He literally, you know, took it, not in a bad way. He just modeled it. Sure. And then he added in the social media layer to it, right? In 2012, he put that on steroids and won re-election. And then Trump took the data model we had in 04, married all the social media aspect to it, and then had the incredible branding campaign of Make America Great Again. And this is the craziest one. So Biden is a complete outlier, but he still followed this five-step system I lay out in the book. But they found out from the voters in 2020 that Trump was kind of burying himself by going on TV and talking about the coronavirus every day in his press conferences. They knew that if they didn't engage with Trump on a daily basis, the Biden people did, that ultimately Trump would just wear himself out. That if Biden got in a fight with Trump, that Biden was going to lose because Trump wears everybody out. I mean, he just wears everybody out. And so they said, you know what? We're going to hide him in the basement. I mean, everybody laughed at it, right? But that was their strategy. It was like, just keep him out. Let Trump kind of be out there talking, yelling, and screaming at everybody. Wear himself out with the voters. And then have Biden come in the fall and be the calm alternative. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, in all the post-election polls, that's exactly what happened. Well, the Biden team knew that before the election. And the one last thing, though, the Trump team was also following this five-step system. And if you think about it, I think it was something like 45,000 votes decided this whole election between three states, Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. And if you just had, I think it actually is 42,000 plus votes. So if you just had 21,000 plus Biden voters on election day at the last second switch their vote in those three states, Trump would be president right now. So that's how close it was.
Quick question about that, because it's interesting what you said about Biden and sort of staying out of the way. I seem to remember when Trump was elected, that was Hillary's strategy to sort of let him do that. And yet it ended up just clearing a way for him to win. She didn't get as much in his face publicly. She just sort of sat back. How come that didn't work for her?
I mean, we were on that race. So I can tell you that their team was engaged very heavily. She was not sitting back. She was trying to take the fight to him. And because in the data, now, of course, I'm going to get canceled for this, but in the data, it said, that she as a woman needed to fight back against the man. And so that's why she did fight back so hard on Trump. So
that's interesting. Absolutely. Because when you hear people talk about it in retrospect, what I have heard is she should have been more engaged. She just they assumed he was just going to be some reality star and he'd fade out himself. And I'm thinking, that's interesting, because that would have been a different strategy. But maybe it wasn't like that in the moment.
Gina, let the man handle the interview. Brian, would you have a follow-up to your first?
He wants to know what his favorite ice cream is.
Sorry.
No, I mean, my thing is, like, what did she – she didn't have a real big campaign theme, right?
Right.
It was just kind of beat Trump, where Trump had Make America Great Again. And so ultimately, they knew that brand was 1,000 times more effective than girl power was talking about. Is this a
fair statement? Hillary didn't really have a platform per se, and we didn't know who Trump was exactly. Then after 4 years of Trump, Biden didn't need a platform either. His platform was no more Trump.
Right.
Correct. So Hillary, if she had had the luxury of us knowing who Trump was for 4 years, mm-hmm. probably could have ran on a non sort of platform campaign that was a little opaque and we didn't really sure what she was, because Biden is just not Trump. Right. That's what he ran on. And
that's
also
exactly what he ran on.
If Trump's just going to put himself out there, and he knows, Biden must know 82% of the media hates Trump, and he's just going to go out in front of the media, then let the media take him apart. Right. You can just hang out and let the media do its work.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is the Trump people were, again, following their formula all the way through. And Trump ended up getting, I don't have the numbers, but it's like 15 million more votes than he did the first time, which is totally insane. That like never happens, especially someone that is as polarizing as he is. And so my point in the whole thing is businesses should be following these kind of strategies because it, you know what? The same people that like we use this in this marketing system in politics, but sports teams use it to win championships. Mm. I mean, it's literally a 5-step process that every football team in America follows to try to win a championship. And there are just no businesses out there right now that are following it. And so I'm trying to kind of bring that into that.
Well, what are the 5 steps?
All right. So first step is, you know, on the voter side, how about I'll walk through how it works on the political side, and then we can kind of make the correlation. So if I sit down with a candidate like running for the United States Senate, oh, actually, as a good example, I'm on Dr. Drew's show today, and he makes himself the candidate in the show. So if you want to go hear that podcast, it's pretty interesting. But let's say you want to run for governor of California. Let's just say it's an agnostic state. I know it's not. But the first thing I'm going to do is sit down with that candidate and ask them what they believe in. They always give me like 20 things they want to run on. And I'm like, okay, no one really wants to hear your 20 things. But what I do is I go out and take a survey. It's much more sophisticated than that. But for brevity's sake, we go out and take a poll in the state, figure out of those 20 issues, what rise to such a level that you could get that candidate elected. And ultimately, it's like one or two issues. But what you're trying to do is get an understanding of the voter and what they care about and where they have alignment with the candidate. And this is the same thing that we do, we do in business with customers, right? My thing is this, you have to understand what the voter cares about before you run out and talk about what you want to talk about, but it has to be in an alignment with the candidate. And then the second step is now that you got it, you got to build a strategic plan. The third step is now that you have the data and you've got a plan, you build your brand. Like a lot of politicians that don't follow this particular system, they'll run out, put a bunch of ads up, send voters to their website, and the website doesn't speak to the voter. I mean, you don't spend any money or send voters to a particular brand, like a website of the candidate, if it's not going to speak to the voter. So you must get the brand in place before you go out and spend a lot of money. The fourth step, and this is the fascinating one, so I think you guys will find this interesting. The fourth step is you do low-cost testing of the message, those two messages we just talked about. So for example, in the 2016 election, Trump's marketing team would run one ad 162 different ways, like on Facebook, because back then Facebook was the Wild West. And when I say 162 ways, it'd be one message of one ad, and they would literally have a green background, a red background, a blue background, different font sizes, have a man in the ad, have a woman in the ad. They would have 162 versions, and ultimately 8 or 9 of those would blow through the roof, and they really didn't know why. It just blew through the roof as far as engagement, persuasion, fundraising, all of those factors. And then the fifth step is now that they've tested all of these messages, this one message 162 ways, they're ready to kind of launch out their marketing campaign. They've eliminated all the risk and they're ready to spend their money and have an ROI in return. So obviously you can correlate how that works in business and sports teams. Sorry, so you'll appreciate this, I guess, Adam, because you like football so much. But if the Rams are playing the Raiders on Sunday, and then the next week the Rams are playing the Packers, the first thing they do on Monday when they come back to the facility is they're going to watch game tape. So they're going to find out what the data says about how they played in the past, and they're going to look at the game tape of the Packers for the future, right? They're going to get the data in place, and then the coaches are going to put a game plan in place, which is step two. Step three is the owners of the stadium are going to clean the stadium, wash the jerseys, get the brand on point for the week so that they can have a game that week that looks professional. All week long, step four, they practice the plays in the game plan, right? They're testing their plays out. And then step five is now that they know the tendencies, the plays that'll work, the plays that probably won't work from practice, they go out and play the game. They launch, you know, out, which is step five. And then I started looking at this. I mean, lawyers do it to win cases. Doctors use it to heal patients. It's like a ubiquitous system that's in place, except in the business world. They aren't following this. And so many business owners right now are totally confused about, I run Facebook ads, I can't get any ROI, and they're just not following a risk-eliminated systematic approach to their marketing.
Could you get Dr. Drew elected governor of California?
I don't. So I was I got a call from Garagos a couple of weeks ago.
That's always how it starts.
Yeah, you got a call from Garagos.
Could I? I could get him definitely in a competitive game, but I don't. I mean, he's got things that he's going to have to overcome, and frankly, you need a really thick skin to run for office. So,
what does he have to overcome?
My question back to you is: how thick is his skin? And because the hit he took this week on this homeless commission board is nothing to what would be done to him if he ran for office.
I would say thick skin, soft heart.
Yeah.
So depending on how that's balanced.
That's nice.
He doesn't have particularly thick skin. He's actually sort of hairless. I mean, technically, if we're talking about his skin.
Right.
I'm assuming you haven't focused a group or group tested Drew's electability. But if you were to, what would he have to overcome?
Well, the first thing I do,
spots, I guess.
Yeah, let me go to the strong spots and I'll go to the weak spots. So the strong spots are, you know, I'd probably go out and figure out what is it going to take for him to get 50 plus one of the vote, right? He only needs a little over 50, but you can piss off 49.9% of the marketplace. Doesn't matter. And so what are those issues that are driving people the most crazy right now that they would vote for Drew despite any deficiencies he has out there? And frankly, it's probably around the coronavirus response. And it might be even his homeless advocacy, because it shows that he cares and it's something they're kind of interested in. And so if I was to guess without looking at data, I would say, okay, those are your two issues. Those are going to run. And so in order to combat those deficiencies, you're going to show how much he cares about the homeless population. He's got solutions to fix that, all that thing. And so any voter that comes to his brand is going to be like, oh yeah, I'm pissed off about the lockdowns and the way that Gavin Newsom has corroded our economy and everything over the last year. And you know what? We have a horrible homeless situation in San Francisco and in LA and in San Diego and everywhere else. And this guy wants to fix it. Now, what would be his issues? Well, it'd be he's been on the radio or on a podcast or on TV for like 30 straight, or maybe even like 40 straight years. And I promise you, anybody that runs against him, they're going to have a team that will literally analyze anything he said over the last 40 years. And then you could just see the ads right now with the, you know, the dark music and everything. And it's like Dr. Drew believes in, you know, and it's X, Y, and Z. And it's going to be his voice doing it. And that's how they come after
him. And anything you've ever said is going to splash onto him, I bet, Adam.
Yeah. And so
that
I guess
may be good for your brand.
I guess the question is, are we sort of post-Trump? Should one lean into this now? Like, it's inevitable. They're going to grab whatever they grab. They're going to kind of whip it up. They're going to do it out of context, and they're going to throw it out there.
Yeah.
Seems to me it's a bygone era of trying to walk things back.
Right.
I feel like the New World Order is, I don't know, full sort of Bill Maher. Just like, yeah, fuck it. These guys are scoundrels. They take that crap. They mix it up. That's exactly what they want, because they want the status quo. They want to stay in power. They want to run this shit show off a fucking cliff into the ocean. And I'm not that guy. So they can knock themselves out. I want solutions, and I'm going to create them. Like, is it now? We now leaning into this stuff? Because the distancing yourself, the apologizing, I don't feel like it works anymore.
Yes.
And Trump leaned into everything, and it worked okay at least once.
Stop apologizing. Yeah, I would never apologize again, because, you know, so I don't know if you have this in your notes, but my book cover got banned on Facebook because in my subtitle, it says the secret formula that elects presidents.
It's just a vagina.
And Facebook said I was trying to influence an election after the election. So they banned it, right?
You have a time machine?
And
yeah, really?
Exactly. And what I found out in that process, Fox News did a story on it, and I wrote a big piece in The Federalist about it. But there was a charity out there that approached me and said, we also got banned on Facebook. And I said, why? And they were a charity. I'm now donating the first $10,000 of my royalties of this book to this charity. But this charity is helping rescue sexually and physically abused kids from horrible homes. And during the lockdowns, they had more work than they've ever had in the history of their charity. And they raised less money than they've ever raised. So they decided to do a fundraising campaign on Facebook. Facebook deemed them an issues ad campaign and blocked them and banned them from running a fundraising campaign. And so what I tell people is this: in 2018, after Trump won, Facebook came after the political industry and they started banning candidate ads. And everybody went, yay, hooray, they banned those terrible political ads. We love you, Facebook. Thank you. And I said at the time, if they're banning us, they're coming after you next, right? And this goes to the apology side of things. And everybody's like, ah, screw those political ads. Well, now it's starting to affect mine. I don't have a free speech issue. I have an advertising issue. But there are a million other business owners out there right now whose lives, employees, and families depended on running ads on Facebook or Amazon or Google or YouTube or whatever. And because these companies are now getting banned, it's affecting their businesses and potentially taking their businesses out. And then it's now moving to charities. And so the point is that when we don't stand up and when we always apologize for everything, hoping it goes away, it never goes away. And they're always going to come after you next.
Well, a good note to go out on. I will confab with Drew and tell him no apologies, because I think that's the new world order. And then the question, last question is, you know, California's supermajority Democrat, but the guy we're recalling is a perfect example of a Democrat who's run the fucking place into the ground. Do we have to elect another Democrat? Is it possible to elect an independent or a Republican?
I have to see. I can't remember if it's a jumbled race or not, or is it a party primaried race? So if it's a jumbled race where everybody's running, including Gavin Newsom, then you could say, like, as a political person, I'd be like, okay, what number do we need to get to win the whole race? It could be 17%. It could be 20%.
Right.
And then you'd have to build out that coalition. So that can happen. I just don't know if it's party affiliated or not. If it's just Democrats running against Democrats, Republicans running against Republicans, and then there's a general election. Yeah, that's impossible.
Is he going to get recalled, do you believe, Gavin Newsom?
The signatures are enough right now. So it feels like it's definitely heading in that direction.
All right.
Well, and then next time we come on, I'll talk to you about education reform.
Please.
I do write about it in the book, about how we utilized ed reform to beat an African-American running for governor in Florida in 2018 with the white Ron DeSantis. And after all these lockdowns, it's kind of a big deal, not only in education reform, but in the way we've lived our life. And I live in Florida now, so it's kind of a big deal. But yeah, we walked through that in the book as well.
The Undefeated Marketing System. It's available now on Amazon. Philip Stutz, thanks for joining us again, Philip.
Yeah.
Thanks. Always good to speak to you.
And
always so much more to get into, because the guy's so interesting. All right, let me hit Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other. And now you want to get your bundle going because you want to save a bunch of money. Well, good. Take your homeowners or your renter's insurance and bundle it along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your house. So what do? You go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at Geico. That is geico.com. Dan Cummins and Lindsay Cummins, comedian. Well, Dan's a comedian, and we're going to come on. We're going to talk podcasting and comedy and the supernatural world, and we'll do all that right after this.